Turn with us over the book of Acts, chapter number 4. Acts, chapter number 4. It's good to see you at the house of God tonight. I know you've had a busy day, but I appreciate you being back at the Lord's house. And when we can't make time for Him, we've got too busy. Amen. I appreciate you being here tonight. I tell you, my heart is stirred here this morning. I needed church today. Lord knows exactly what we need when we need it. And I'm glad we've got a God that sees about all of His children. The Bible said in Acts 4, verse 1, "And as they spake unto the people, the priest and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. They laid hands on them, put them in hold till the next day, for it was now eventide. Howbeit many of them which heard the word believed. And the number of the men was about 5,000. Came to pass on the morrow that their rulers and elders and scribes, and Annas the high priest, Cephas and John and Alexander, and as many as were the kindred of the high priest were gathered together at Jerusalem. When they had set them in the midst, they asked, by what power, by what name have you done this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, ye rulers of people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done by the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead. Even, by the way, he did get up out of the grave. And by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which is set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other. For there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." Verse 13, "Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled. They took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus." Thank you for standing tonight. Father, we love you. We thank you for this time together, Lord, still in a country, God, where we can worship you in spirit and in truth. Thank you, Lord, for the Word of God tonight. Thank you for stirring our hearts this morning. I pray now you let preaching be easy a few minutes. Help us to encourage you people and be a blessing tonight. I'll be careful to honor you and thank you for everything that you do. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And amen. I'm interested tonight in this text, verse of 13. The Bible said, "And when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus." I won't preach on this simple subject tonight. On "they said the dummies are in town." They said the dummies are in town. Said they perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men. Now, I want you to notice in the setting of this verse tonight, there's the early church. We have Peter, James, and John as some of the first church preachers that God put in the church. And notice what he had told this early church. He told them in chapter 1 and verse number 4, he said, first of all, you can count on a promise. Can I tell you that every promise God's ever made in this Bible, it's going to come to pass? Every promise God's ever given me and you, it will come to pass. He said in verse 4, "They being assembled together, commanded them they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me." Now, they realized they could count on the promise. Number two, verse number eight, they learned that they could coexist in the power. Not only does God give us a promise, but as the New Testament church, He gives us the power. He said in Acts 1, verse number 8, He said, "But ye shall receive power." And let me tell you what, just going to church tonight without power is just going to church. But I'm glad there's still power in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ in this day, in this hour. He said, "Ye shall receive power." Oh, I'm glad I ain't trying to do this by myself. I'm glad there is a higher power tonight, and His name is the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Watch this. He says, "He will come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost part of the earth." Now, they could count on the promise. They were coexistent, or they could coexist, but they needed somebody with them. That is the Holy Ghost tonight. So they could count on the promise. They could coexist in power. Let me tell you, we can be ourselves, but we got to have God to help us in everything we do in this day and this hour. And then, notice in verse 14, they were to continue in prayer. The Bible said these all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with His brethren. Now, I want to say tonight that we have a promise and we have power, so we sure don't need to quit our praying. If there's ever been a time that God's people need to pray, it is tonight. God's been kicked out of the schoolhouse, been kicked out of the White House, and oh, we need prayer back in our nation. We need prayer back in our communities and prayer back in our home. My goodness, don't never let prayer be took out of your church. I'm glad this morning we gathered together and called upon the name of the Lord with specific needs. I'm glad we've got a God we can pray to tonight. Folks that's worshiping Buddha, Muhammad, they don't have the hope me and you have tonight. I sure am glad that they taught us to continue in praying. Now, these disciples, I want to say in this text verse of Acts chapter 4 and verse number 13, the Bible said they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, and they marveled. They took note, and they took knowledge of them that they'd been with Jesus. They said, "Now, you know, they're really just dummies. But it's something different about them dummies." And I want to say tonight, they've seen a lot of amazing things. Matter of fact, these men had been with Jesus in the marriage feast. Notice this, they took knowledge that they'd been with Jesus. I wonder if anybody's ever picked up on that you've been around Jesus. As they sung tonight, "He is our everything. We've got to have Him." And I'm glad Jesus makes a difference in this day and hour we live. Now, they'd been around Jesus. They'd seen Him at the marriage feast where He turned the water into wine. They'd seen Him at Peter's mother-in-law where she had a great fever, and Peter come out of the temple, Brother Lee, and brought Jesus back home with him. You know, there's a lot of folks down at the temple got fever. They got Bible fever. They done got sick and got out of their Bible. Oh, they got praying fever. They done got sick and tired of praying. But let me tell you tonight, Jesus can cure your fever in this day, in this hour. Matter of fact, Peter took Jesus back home to his mother-in-law and he cured her fever. I tell you what will get you cool off tonight is Jesus. Amen. The marriage feast, the mother-in-law, then they'd been around the money fishing. Remember, they were accused of not paying their taxes. Come back, told the Lord, said, "Lord, it's looking bad." Said, "They said you won't give tribute to Caesar," and said, "We're broke around here." He said, "Well, go cast a hook in the sea." When they cast it out, there was, guess what? Even the Lord believes in fishing. Somebody say amen. It amazes me people preach against and going fishing, but they don't mind eating what we done caught. Amen. And so here they'd been around, no doubt, the marriage feast and the mother-in-law and the money fishing. And then they'd seen the multitude fed. 5,000 men was fed by 5 loaves and 2 little fishes. Then they'd been on the mountain of Transfiguration. I preached a few Sunday mornings ago where there Jesus, you know what happened? And Jesus turned inside out and showed them His glory. Oh, tonight there's nobody that shines like Jesus. And so now, they may have thought they were dummies, but I want to talk about 3 things tonight. And I want to, you know, this is Pastor Appreciation Month. I want to honor my pastor tonight, Brother Boatner. And Brother Boatner had shared this thought years ago in preaching. And so, you know, I thought about one Sunday, it'd be a blessing if we could just put him on the computer and bring him up as my pastor and just let him kick off our service and pray out of his little old trailer down there in Mississippi. Wouldn't that be a blessing? Let him start our service off on live video. Amen. Everything! Just because we got technology don't mean the devil's in everything tonight. We could use some things for the honor and the glory of God. And I want to say something. They may have thought they were dummies, but I want to say tonight, they were smart enough to do 3 things that I want to share with you tonight. They were smart enough, first of all, to make heaven ring. They were smart enough to make heaven ring by thanksgiving. You know, there's not many people making heaven ring no more. Brother Lee, you had a mama who used to know how to make heaven ring. Brother Nightmare, she'd stand up, man, she'd have that Holy Ghost shout, I love it, don't you tonight? And, oh, aren't you glad you've met some people in this life that knowed how to make heaven ring? Now, they made heaven ring, look in chapter 3, verse 12. First of all, by recognizing the work of God. Now, you remember that they laid that cripple at the beautiful gate. And oh, we know the old verse that's so familiar. Peter and John, they went up in the temple at the ninth hour and they dropped the beggar off. And I love what Peter said to him. Brother Gerald, think about you every time I see and preach it. He said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Arise and walk. So he got up and it astounded that crowd because he had been sitting there many years. Nobody could help him, but Jesus could help him. So they were astounded. They come to him and said, now how have you done this? I want to say they made heaven ring, first of all, by recognizing the work of God. Look in chapter 3, verse 12. The Bible said, when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, you men of Israel, why marvel ye at this, or why look ye so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or holiness we'd made this man to walk? You see, they made heaven ring by recognizing the work of God. Secondly, they made heaven ring by rejoicing in the worship of God. Look in verse 13. They said, and the God of Abraham. Now, Abraham's been dead a long time, but God is still Abraham's God. Aren't you glad that after you die and lay this old body down, we still got a God that'll be in the present tense God? He didn't used to be Abraham's God. He's Abraham's God today. I'm glad when I lay this old body down, it won't be Brother Kevin. He used to be my God. He's my God today. And so they were rejoicing in the worship of God. He said, the God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified His Son Jesus, whom you delivered up and denied in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let Him go. They can make heaven ring by thanksgiving. You see, by recognizing the work of God, they bragged on Jesus. By rejoicing in the worship of God. Let me tell you, He's still worthy of our praise tonight. The Bible says He seeks such as those to worship Him in spirit and in truth. Then notice in verse 14, they can make heaven ring by recognizing the work of God, rejoicing in the worship of God, but by relying on the Word of God. I want to say something. The Word of God's all they had. And the Word of God's all we need tonight. He said, but you denied the Holy One and the just and desired a murder to be granted unto you and killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. And His name through faith in His name hath made this man strong, whom ye see and know, yea, the faith which is by Him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. You see, they may have seemed like a bunch of dummies to this world. Matter of fact, I'll be honest with you, those that are still in old-time religion tonight may seem like we a bunch of dummies to this old world. But I'm glad I hang around a crowd that knows how to make heaven ring tonight. And not only could they make heaven ring, but secondly, they could make the heathen rage. You know, they can make heaven ring by thanksgiving, but these could make the heathen rage by truth. You know what makes heathens rage? Truth. Truth. Now, in chapter 3, verse number 8, there was a truth about the cripple walking. Look what he said. He leaping up, stood and walked, and entered with them in the temple, walking, leaping, and praising God. The heathen was raging because of truth, because the cripple walking. But then you'll notice in verse number 11, there's a crowd wondering. As the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together to them in the porch, it's called Solomon, greatly wondering. You know something? God can do things to make this old world wonder about. Matter of fact, this world wonders about you. You know what they wonder? Are me and you real or not? Well, the proof's in the pudding tonight. Now, I'm going to tell you something. Jesus does change lives. And so, they can make the heathen rage by truth. The cripple walking, the crowd wondering. But look in chapter 3, verse 10. There's criticizers watching. They knew that it was He which is set at alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement of that which had happened unto him. You know, criticizers are everywhere. Matter of fact, people often that do all the criticizing never do nothing themselves. They just want to criticize everything. Well, before you criticize, won't you look down upon your porch and see what you're doing for the glory and the grace of God? In an amazing way, people love to criticize you. Boy, they want to sum you up, and it's that old religious crowd always a-looking and a-wondering and a-talking. Lord, don't they love to criticize? But you know what? You know what makes heathen rage? Is truth. You see, it's not you really people don't like. It's the truth that you hold. I've upset a lot of people just by truth. And you know, there's nothing wrong with having tact about your truth. But at the end of the day, it all boils down to one thing. No matter really how you said it, it's truth. People don't like truth. But the Bible says truth shall set you free. And so, I'm going to tell you what, they may look like a bunch of dummies to this old world, but they were smart enough to make heaven ring by thankfulness. When's the last time you just thank God for what He's done for you? And then they can make the heathen rage by truth. But lastly tonight, I tell you what they're smart enough to do. They were smart enough to make hearts right. You know that early church, they could make heart right by togetherness. I'm glad we can be together tonight. Now I want to say this. You may ask this question, how in the world did that early church stay together? There's three things tonight I feel like that kept this early church together and close. Number one, they were Spirit-filled. Somebody may ask the question, what is being Spirit-filled? Can I give you this country boy vernacular meaning of what really is Spirit-filled? It simply means seeing things more from God's side instead of the fleshly side. You know, most all church trouble I've ever seen, if folks were Spirit-filled, they'd have never had no trouble. And therefore, to be Spirit-filled, we've got to see things the way God sees. I hear folks fussing and fighting because they spend too much money on youth. Well, let me ask you, what's a better crowd to spend money on? The world wants them. Why don't the church want them? You know, tonight, they were Spirit-filled. These men had a way to make hearts right by togetherness. And if there's ever been a day and an hour that we need to be together as God's children, it is tonight. And you know something? You may not dot your I and cross your T the way everybody else does, but you always got to remember this. It's the blood of Jesus that's always going to get us home. And oh my, tonight, how we need to be Spirit-filled. You said, preacher, why we need to be Spirit-filled? It's pretty simple, because we leak. Being Spirit-filled is a lifestyle. It's not a one-time event. It's a continuous lifestyle. When I do wrong, I must confess my sins and ask God to forgive me. Keep that walk close with Christ. Must keep my nose in this Bible. Must stay on my knees praying. Oh, tonight, how we need to be Spirit-filled. Matter of fact, some of your children and grandchildren is counting on you staying Spirit-filled. They can make hearts right by togetherness, by being Spirit-filled. And then look in chapter 4, verse 35. Not only by being Spirit-filled, but they were sensitive to the needs of others. Now, watch what the Bible says. Chapter 4, verse 34. Neither was there any among them that lacked. For as many as were possessors of lands or of houses sold them and brought the prices of the things that were sold, laid them down at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. You see, they could make hearts right by togetherness because they were Spirit-filled. Secondly, because they were sensitive to needs. But thirdly and lastly, look in chapter 4 and verse number 12. They were sure of salvation. Chapter 4 and verse number 12. They said, neither is there salvation in any other. For there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Tonight I'm glad I'm sure of my salvation. You know, in 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 16, last place I go tonight, turn with me over in the righty Bible, 1 Thessalonians 4. Verse number 16. Had a man ask me about this set of verses the other day. He had been in church all his life, and it surprised me he didn't understand it. I guess that reminds me how we need to teach the Word of God. 1 Thessalonians 4 and 16. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds and to meet the Lord in there, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Jesus is coming and we're leaving. If you die in Christ, you know something? When the Lord returns with His saints, your old body's going to get up out of the grave, that old bit of clay that's left. Jesus, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. When we die, we go to be with Christ. Our old body stays wherever we leave it. But when the Lord comes back, we're going to come back with Him, with the saints of God, if we died before the rapture comes, and we're going to be united, those that have trusted the Lord Jesus. We're going to get a glorified body, and we're going to worship for it. And you know something? The dummies in town bother them now, but you wait till the dummies leave town. What a day that's going to be. Isn't it amazing what people really think? But let me tell you something, what you can do tonight. You see this old King James Bible? It's going to stand when this world is a burning. Jesus honors this book. And it's changed my life. And I bless Him tonight that He's entrusted me with it. And what an opportunity, preachers, that Jesus would trust us to preach it right. And oh, it'll make the heathen rage. How many times have they left their nostrils flared? But I'm going to tell you something. This book's still right tonight. And I appreciate you being here this evening. Stand with me.